This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
And Tuesday, January 13th. For more information and directions to the sale and classes, check the Urban Harvest website at www.urbanharvest.org. KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Renee.
Try that again.
This is Jack Valinsky.
Hey, and this is Jennifer Renee.
This is Brian Levinka.
And I'm Glenn Holt. Oops. And on this evening's program, there we go, we're going to have a couple of people on. Yeah. Megan Baker, who's going to be talking about doing something about lining up on the sidewalk on West Gray to do a protest, which is going to be sort of focused on bringing attention to DOMA and federal marriage rights and same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff. Tim Brookover is going to be here from the Community Center to talk about the Community Leaders Networking Group. It's going to be kind of a meeting workshop thing coming up this weekend. This Way Out is sort of all one big piece this week because it's still sort of in holiday mode. And so they're going to do their special holiday seasonal program looking at different TV programs and movies throughout the year. And we also have Paul Scott from Equality Texas. He's going to be talking about the upcoming Texas legislative session and what that means for the GLBT community. But first, David Elliott from Washington, D.C., and what's going to happen there.
Well, good evening and Happy New Year to Queer Voices. I hope that all of you are doing well. Today is January 6th, 2009. And
No, it's 2000.
You may be a day ahead there in Washington.
I'm sorry, it's January 5th.
It's January 5th.
Well, I'm looking just so forward to the 20th that I'm just getting ahead of myself. Now,
okay.
I have what might be some controversial thoughts to offer to you tonight.
No.
I hope they won't be that controversial, or maybe I hope they will be. Maybe that's what this program is for, right?
Absolutely. Give it to us.
You know, America today, Monday, January 5th, is back to work after the holidays. Well, most of us are.
Yeah.
the 1.2 million Americans who lost jobs last year largely aren't back to work, nor are the millions and millions of Americans who no longer officially are included in the unemployment figures because they gave up looking for work long, long ago. You know,
and there's the underemployed.
Well, yes, the part-time workers, exactly, who don't have health care, and they're struggling to put food on the table. And, you know, in his long-shot, historic, uphill bid to win the presidency, when Barack Obama prevailed on that first Tuesday in November, we were moved as a community. We were moved as a people. We were moved as a nation. E pluribus unum, from many, one. We hoped we could somehow advance the clock, that somehow November 4th would morph magically into January 20th, and we would have a new instant president. Just add water, rinse, repeat. We didn't imagine that things could get worse since November 4th, but they have. We just learned today, for example, that automobile sales in December were much worse than they were in November. Chrysler sales were down 53%, and General Motors and Ford were down between 30 and 35%. Nearly one in every 10 Americans is on food stamps. 38 million Americans are at risk of going to bed hungry every night. In recent months, hundreds of thousands of Americans, including tens of thousands of Texans, have been removed from Medicaid rolls and no longer have access to health care. All of this in what is considered to be the world's greatest superpower. But change is finally in the air. It is coming. It is inevitable. It is transformative. Early yesterday evening in Washington, D.C., we got our first taste of change when a jetliner carrying President-elect Barack Obama touched down at Reagan National Airport just outside of D.C. And this time, Obama wasn't just visiting. He is here to stay. He spent today, Monday, blitzing through Congress, rallying support for his desperately needed economic recovery package. And on Thursday, on the same subject, economic recovery, he's going to make his first major address as president-elect to the American people. So now it's 2 weeks and less than a day, 350 hours, something like that, not that I'm counting, before we have a new president. And every day it's a little bit more Obama and a little less Bush. And change is coming. Change is coming. The psychology will change. The face of America will change. How we are seen around the world will change. But we have our work cut out for us. You know, I said from day one that this election was never about Barack Obama. No, not from day one. It was about the people supporting him, working tirelessly for him, donating as little as $5 a month from their debit cards, because although that was all they could give, they had to give something. And now, because of the support, Obama has an email list, an email army, if you will, of 13 million strong. He's going to be able to use this list to bypass the traditional media in D.C., the historic gatekeepers who elevate some ideas into law and designate others into the dustbin of history. And we have to help Obama and his army. Together with this promising new president, we face an unbelievable burden of obligation. And we face an unbelievable possibility of opportunity. Let me explain this again. Let me repeat it, because here I'm going to get into some controversy. We face an unbelievable burden of obligation and an unbelievable possibility of opportunity. Obligation. Opportunity. What do those words mean? After all, what is our obligation? And what exactly is our opportunity? This program, Queer Voices, deals with the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people. It deals with gender issues. It deals with immigrant issues. It deals with issues of racial equality. But I submit to you right now, tonight, that the fundamental issue that unites us all as a community, as a people, as a nation, e pluribus unum, from many one, is the ability to have a job. A job gives us security and opportunity. At least we can hope for those things.
Absolutely.
And those things, once real, can lead to prosperity, to the American dream, for one, for all. So our immediate obligation is to help President-elect Obama pass his jobs and economic recovery legislation. That will help all of us, particularly those struggling to start anew, to climb the ladder to economic security and opportunity. That means ending foreclosures. I mean, 1 million Americans lost homes this past year. It means helping people get jobs, food stamps, extensions on unemployment insurance, you know, if they can't find work, health care. People are dying right now, dying, because they have no access to health care. This in the world's greatest superpower? Those who have led us to this, they are idiots, they are dolts, they are fools. Now, I mentioned obligation and opportunity. I've explained our unbelievable burden of obligation. But what is our unbelievable possibility of opportunity? For the LGBT community, it means repeal of the anti-gay, don't ask, don't tell military policy. It means an unprecedented number of LGBT appointees. It means allowing the LGBT immigrant partners of Americans to establish citizenship here without harassment. It means, yes, the eventual repeal of the virulently anti-gay Defense of Marriage Act. For women, opportunity means passage of laws that strike down the onerous burden and hindrance of discrimination that divide us all. It means equal health care, cancer screenings, access to birth control. It means fundamentally equal pay for equal work and equal opportunity for promotion. For communities of color, opportunity means an Obama administration that will work for all of us now instead of for the elite few. It means colorblind law enforcement. And that includes putting a stop to this business of driving while black or flying while Muslim or, dare I say it, substituting the death penalty for the rampant lynchings of the early 20th century. Now, in closing, there are those within our ranks who will want to put opportunity before obligation. And who can blame them? If one thing unites women, people of color, and LGBT people, it is the long-standing and obnoxious, odorous veneer of discrimination. This legacy has, at times, left us steeped in identity politics, and no surprise. But just as Obama has overcome much, we must overcome this legacy. We must, for the sake of all of us, our people, our community, our country, e pluribus unum, from many, one, we must put obligation before opportunity. If we create the jobs, the infrastructure, the health care for all, if we can put America back to work again, then we will have the opportunity to address these so many social ills that have bedeviled and discouraged us during the past 8 years. And so now, my friends, we have a new president, a new Congress, a new era, and it's time for all of us together to get to work.
Well, very well said, David. Certainly there's going to be a bunch of bumps in trying to create this. The obstacles are just tremendous, certainly after the past 8 years of what has been left of this country, between war and war and war and all the other things that has divided this country.
What do you think our opportunity on an inclusive INDA is?
I think INDA has to happen the first year, and that it's going to happen. But just like ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I don't think it's going to happen until the spring or the summer. I think they have to take dramatic and radical steps. The first 60 to 90 days to get this, it's probably going to be around a $750 billion economic recovery package. I think they've got to get that passed. And then, especially if we can get that passed overwhelmingly in the House and with some 70 to 80 votes in the Senate, it is going to open the agenda up for us then to begin addressing the social, I don't even know how to say it, because I think back on the last 8 years, and you know, sometimes I have to tell you my skin starts to crawl. but just to start addressing the many forms of discrimination that LGBT people face, and women and people of color, and you know, I'm a little bit conflicted because part of me is starting, you know, part of me is thinking, am I suggesting that certain communities take a back seat while we pass economic recovery?
Well, I agree with you that economic recovery has to be first and foremost, but if you're going to create an economy and create jobs and then deny a segment of the community or the country the right to have a job, then
well,
what have you gained?
Well, Jennifer, you're exactly right. And if we go down that path, it will be just like Clinton.
Yes, and sort of like all the people that we've lost in Afghanistan, and women still over there have no rights.
Right, right. So, you know, part of, and you know it's kind of interesting because our entire movement right now has to engage in, and we have to be courageous enough to engage in a revolution in psychology. We have been fighting on defense for so long, and now we have to actually understand that we have power. We don't have unlimited power. You know, we don't get to press buttons and say this goes. But we've got some pretty hefty majorities. And we have the votes, make no mistake, to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We have the votes to pass INDA. And by the way, I think that if it's not going to be a trans-inclusive INDA, why even bother? Why even bother? Let's do the right thing because we can get this through. Do
you,
we have the
you better
votes?
Talk to Barney Frank.
Well, yeah, that's.
Excuse me, Barney Fife.
Well, you know, maybe now that we have a new administration, maybe he's going to see the light, or maybe not. You know, Barney Frank right now is.
He's busy.
Yeah, he's busy. He's, you know, he has a genius mind when it comes to finances, and he's going to be spearheading the economic recovery package in the House. But, you know, maybe that we have, now that we have a friendly administration, he can rethink his position. And if not, maybe we can out-organize him. I don't know, and nobody really seems to know this yet, how and when DOMA is going to go. I mean, obviously, if we could get one more seat on the Supreme Court, DOMA eventually would be ruled unconstitutional. The problem is that the first two retirees on the Supreme Court are probably going to be Stevens and perhaps Ginsburg,
right,
who
right.
already are voting for us. So
right.
that the judicial solution, which is a never at first glance the best solution, is, you know, a little bit down the road.
Well, it needs to be some appointments downstream that overturn it at other levels.
Right.
Before it ever gets there.
Right, circuit court levels. Of course, then you're still going to have split circuits, which eventually is going to lead to, you know, a Supreme Court review, but, you know, that would be years in the making. I mean, ideally, I'd rather see a legislative solution, because when you win at that level, history tends to suggest you win permanently.
Exactly.
So I don't know. You know, I have to tell y'all, the economy is going to get worse before it gets better. Job loss is going to shoot up in the coming months. I mean, it is going to escalate like you would not believe, and people are going to be hurting like you would not believe. I do think that things are going to get better. I don't know if it's going to start happening in 6 months or a year or a year and a half. It's going to be somewhere between 6 months and 2 years. But we are going to be hurting for a little while. You know, I've studied some of the numbers out of Texas. Texas doesn't seem to be hurting quite as much.
Yes, that's what I understand.
The country on average. But I know even you all, you folks in Houston, are hurting. I know that your restaurants have got to be hurting. I know that your taxi cab drivers are reporting fewer tips. So, you know, it's affecting everybody everywhere.
It's a matter of degrees, but yes, you know, we have a benefit because our a lot of our economy is based on energy, but it still is about jobs and about work. I have seen in the last 4 or 5 months a drop off in new construction.
Sure, sure. And, you know, I am seeing people, I am seeing friends losing their jobs up here. Now the nonprofit sector is beginning to be affected. Practically every nonprofit I know of, including the one I work for, is seeing layoffs. And we don't know when the bleeding is going to stop.
Well, hopefully it'll stop soon.
Well, you know, we thought this phone call was just going to be all joyful after the past 2 years of talking about this election. But in reality, we knew that, you know, things were getting really, really tough. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of fixing.
Well, Jack, this is 1932 repeated.
That's really scary.
This is the greatest economic crisis we've faced since the Great Depression. But back then, in 1932... we elected FDR, and it took many years and many programs
and a world war.
Right. And, oh, God, let's not go there, okay? I do want to, you know, I do want to add a personal note, though. And I don't know, I have trouble remembering everyone you have in your studio, but, you know, I want to wish Jennifer and you, Jack, and Glenn, and I'm not sure who else. And
Brian.
Brian.
And you missed Joan last week.
I missed Joan. Oh, I love
and
Joan.
And J.D. was here.
And who was that?
J.D. Doyle.
J.D., okay. Joan's like my all-time favorite lesbian.
Yes.
I mean, if I were a lesbian, I would ask Joan out on a date. That's how much she is my all-time favorite lesbian. But I do want to... wish all of you and all of your listeners a happy 2009, a happier year than what we just saw. I mean, come now. I think that we can all agree that 2009 is going to be better than 2008.
We hope so, yes.
There'll be hope in 2009.
Well, thank you for joining us, David. And what do you do for your daytime job?
Well, for my daytime job, communications director for U.S. Action. You can find us on the web at usaction.org. And these days, you know, we're arguing, we're lobbying, we're advocating for health care for all.
That's a great thing.
Lots of stuff like that. Clean energy, more jobs for folks, better access to education. But I'll let you go now because I know you got a busy program tonight.
Well, thank you for joining us, David. And you're listening to Queer Voices.
Jerry Falwell's favorite deacon scampered up the aisle at church, sporting lavender pajamas and a matching purple purse, with a triangle tiara and the cutest little hop. Tinky Winky made him do it. Even God can't make him stop. So now Jerry's on the Tinky with his soft and supple ways. How he captivates the children and recruits them all as gays. How he undermines their virtue, all that's manly, strong, and straight. Tinky Winky's tempting toddlers, and they're going for the bait. Do you think that Tink's the Antichrist, the Winky Viet Cong, with his decadent accessories and tantalizing song? You beat the same old drum, Jerry, you stir the same old pot. Tinky Winky must be banned, Tinky Winky should be shot. Ah, but Tinky's hard to find. Out on a cold Wyoming night, where two losers cruise the bar scene, and they're spoiling for a fight. But they do find Matthew Shepard, and he's small, alone, and gay. It's 2-1, they got a gun, they're taking him away. You know what happens next, Jerry, you know, and you know why. They left him hanging on a fence to bleed and freeze and die. The word is father to the deed you can't undo. No, it wasn't Tinky Winky, Jerry, maybe it was you. For the word may shine like lightning, but the thunder sounds like hate. If they came to get you, Jerry, would you care that they were straight? If you were holed up in the bathroom, would you finally understand why the policeman at the door has got a broomstick in his hand? Tinky Winky may be boring, Tinky Winky may be quaint, Tinky Winky may be holy and be canonized a saint. Tinky Winky may be dumb, Jerry, but when push comes to shove, Tinky Winky will not hate you, no matter who you love. I was scanning your old sermons, and in one of them I read, is it true? Is it loving? Does it need to be said? That's three strikes and you're out, Jerry, it's time to scrap the speech. Take a tip from Tinky Winky and practice what you preach. Why don't you practice what you preach?
A song from 2001 from the album I Struck Gold. That was Charlie King, Tinky Winky. This is Queer Voices.
Joining us on the line is Paul Scott, who
Hello,
is
Paul.
Executive Director of Equality Texas. And we just had some really interesting news come down the pike here about what's going on up there in the leadership of the House.
Yes. Hey, how are you, Jennifer? How are you, Jack?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to hear from you. I was reading that several articles, especially online, about Strauss, and he seems to have support from friends of our community.
We see a lot of support throughout Texas, particularly from both sides of the aisle, and coming together to support a speaker who is going to help move some of the work forward that's important to all Texans. And really trying to work in a bipartisan nature, I think, is really what we're seeing in the discussions. And we see this in the support that he's receiving. And as we continue to kind of go through this process, really over the last 24 to 48 hours, you've seen where he's garnered a lot of support. And you see that John Smithy has pulled out of the speaker's race earlier this evening, as well as Dan Gaddis. Tom Craddock, the current Speaker of the House, has already announced that he is pulling out of the race for the Speaker of the House as well. So I think we definitely see a consensus movement happening with supporting Joe Strauss out of San Antonio.
Is it all but decided?
Well, you know, it's Texas politics, so you can never say it's all decided. you have to wait until the votes are counted, and a lot can happen in 1 week. The session opens up next Tuesday, and as we know, in both state, local, and national politics, a week is a very long time.
That's true. That's very true. There's always something could happen any moment. But I almost heard a Texas accent there for a second.
I was trying.
What else do we have on the agenda this year? We made some inroads in the House, not so much so in the Senate, but what does it look like?
Well, yeah, I think the landscape is still something to be determined. I think that's why the Speaker's race is so important. I think one reason why we're interested in watching how this unfolds is because we'll be able to see bills getting fair hearings, hopefully, and those bills that we're able to elicit support from and build support on have those actually come to the floor of the House for a vote. And I think we'll see, hopefully, I think, you know, the conversations we're hearing from folks is less of those partisan votes that really aren't good for all of us as Texans, particularly aren't good for us in a time when every economy is struggling and we've got really difficult decisions to make. And I think we're looking forward to really moving forward and not moving kind of backwards or working on against or defensively against legislation that's harmful to the gay and lesbian community. I mean, I think it's a concern that we need to be vigilant about. We saw what happened, you know, in Arkansas with the passage of the adoption and foster care ban, and that's one of our core issues that we continue to make sure that we're vigilant on, to make sure that there's not a similar type of ban or restriction in Texas.
What sort of legislation do you see coming down the pike? Anything, or what do you see that we're going to push again? I know that some of the bills keep being turned in every year, and it looks like maybe, like you said, that it'll make at least a fair hearing. Unfortunately, I've been up there, and they were never fair before. What do you think we'll see this time?
Yeah, and I think and this will be determinative of what happens with the appointment of committee chairs and the committees themselves. I think that's where we've seen some roadblocks, where, like in the Education Committee, you've seen it's very difficult to have bills get a hearing. As most of our members and people that know the work that we're doing, you know, one of our core areas that we're working on is anti-bullying and harassment work and legislation, safe schools legislation. And we're working in a broad-based coalition effort. It's not necessarily LGBT specific in the effort that we're working on. We're working with teachers groups, working with parent groups, and working with allies across the state to really bring this issue to the table so that we can make sure that all students have a safe learning environment in order to get through school and get into the workforce, and then working on a right to work bill in Texas so that once they get out of school and you pay for your education and study to get a degree, then you're able to get out there and actually get a job and keep your job, and you're not discriminated against because of your sexual orientation or gender identity and expression. So I would say those are the key areas, you know, that are kind of similar to what we've worked on in the past. The safe schools one being one that we're really ramping up our work on, and feel like we've got a broad base of support, not only with our allies, but with legislators as well.
Where is HISD stand on the bullying?
HISD really has a progressive policy. You've got a great group down there, Deb Murphy with Hatch, and other, you know, people that have worked hard, and, you know, the Houston, ISD has inclusive policies in their, code of conduct. I think the issue is when you're working with schools that already have an inclusive policy is in, you know, how are they being enforced? How are they being monitored? And I think that's where we've seen some great support and great work encouraged by you know, legislators like Representative Coleman out of Houston, who's continuously tried to get a study done on you know, what's happening with bullying and harassment in schools, as well as to get reporting that is showing reporting based upon whether it's based upon race, religion, ethnicity, or sexual orientation, gender identity. And he continuing to do that, and we're looking to support him as well, the Dignity for All Students Act, which is a non-discrimination act, you know, that's for educators and for students and for, you know, anyone within the education system.
Well, one of the things I was noting that I remembered Smithy. He was he was the head of that chair when I came up to speak on that, the case of the insurance. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, discrimination. And he was very arrogant. And quite honestly, I'm a citizen. I can say he was really evil toward me and all the other speakers from the GLBT community, and all we were asking for was fairness concerning the legitimate request for health insurance and all sorts of insurance, and the discrimination that goes far beyond GLBT people, but discrimination as far as whether you get insurance because of your credit score.
Right, and I think that's as we get ready for our lobby day on Monday, March the 2nd, I mean, it's citizens, you know, and our supporters like you that come up there and really are courageous enough up there testifying and educating about these issues. I mean, you know, we were up there, what, at 1:30 in the morning, I think.
Yeah, I finally got to speak 1:30 in the morning. We had been there over 12 hours waiting for, they kept putting us to the bottom of the list. Every time we came up to the top, they would put us on the bottom, or Smithy did.
Right, and I think, you know, we had, you know, outcomes from that was, like, one of the legislators that was on that committee was Larry Taylor, out of the Galveston area, who called the bill author up the next day, Representative Alonzo out of the Dallas area, and said, we need some more information on this. And I talked to their office later on and gave them more information. So it goes to show you that despite maybe being in a hostile environment, that the legislators, and particularly some of them, are listening and actually are trying to get educated. And they may not necessarily, you know, give their support, but as they become more educated and we give them more information, they learn, we're slowly going to be able to move people to support inclusive legislation that's inclusive of both sexual orientation and gender identity and expression.
Well, there's a whole myriad of difficulties surrounding the insurance, especially health insurance in this state. So many insurance companies are tossing anybody who has any kind of pre-existing condition into the insurance pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a critical issue, particularly as we go forward, both on national and on the state front. And we see kind of as one of the areas that we're also going to be working on this session is really focusing on health care, the broad issues of health care in regards to insurance, because that bill, we're hoping to, that bill is going to be refiled again when it comes to the insurance non-discrimination. But also when it comes to healthcare decisions, so that, you know, consenting adults can make decisions for one another without the state, state intervening and making a decision, inappropriately for an adult that needs to make a decision for themselves and want someone to make that for them. And we talk about that in regards to domestic partners or anyone that you designate, and whether you're straight or gay, if you are not married, you need to be able to easily be able to designate who can make that healthcare decision for you, as well as to visit you in the hospital. And there should not be discrimination in the healthcare system in that regard. And that's one of the areas that we're looking to move forward on as well.
Do you think they'll add any more money back to CHIPS?
I think you've got some. I saw some, you know, verbiage today in some of the blogs and some of the news articles. You know, that's obviously going to be an area. Again, you've got Representative Coleman, who is a strong advocate in the area, that I really see there's going to be a strong push. I think there's going to be really a close analysis of what's happening with the state budget. You've got the broader issue of what's happening with the business tax. You've got the revenue issues in regards to the oil revenues and gas revenues, you know, with the downturn in the oil market. So all that kind of at the last part of this year is affecting Texas. Not to the degree that a lot of states are affected. I mean, Texas is really in a better shape than most states, but we're still in a state that I think the budget's going to be have some careful scrutiny, and that's going to affect these issues. But I think there's going to be a strong and unified push to get some more funding in the CHIP.
And just a tiny bit sidestepping our usual topic, what's happening with the Trans-Texas Highway, Tollway? Is that thing dead yet?
Well, again, I go back to my original statement in Texas, nothing ever dies. I think, you know, we've seen over time that more and more people are opposed to it, but it's still something that Governor Perry wants, and you're still going to see it push. I mean, I've not heard kind of what the current status of that is in regards going into this session. So much focus has been put on the speaker's race.
Yeah, there was some write-up in the Chronicle over the weekend on that, and you're right, it just keeps coming up all the time because of Governor Perry. But I guess it looks a little bit better this term, this session, as it did in the past. And because, I mean, for a long time, you all were up there just playing defense.
Yeah, I think in the last session in particular was where we saw a change where we weren't as defensive. We had to really work behind the scenes. There weren't any anti-LGBT specific bills filed. I mean, there was one that never went anywhere that was kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing, which was an anti-GSA bill. But it never went anywhere, and an author of that bill got defeated. That was Bill Zedler out of Fort Worth. And I think what we see now with the 76-74 split in the House of Representatives, and we've gained, there's one, additional Democrat in the Senate, I think you're going to see, the ability to have hearings and more information and more conversations and more kind of proactive work happening. And where our energy is spent doing that and working with our members and people like you, Jennifer and Jack, and to come up there to the Capitol and have more positive conversations to educate our legislators and move them. So we definitely see the trend is shifting to away from this ultra-conservative. I mean, our whole point is that we really want to have a better Texas, and we feel like a better Texas means that people are not discriminated against because of their sexual orientation, gender identity. And that's where we're really focusing in, and we're really hoping that there's not going to be these floor fights and these bills filed that are forcing people to try to take a vote in order just to run against them in an election. That doesn't do anything for Texas. It's a waste of our tax dollars, and we've got so much work and so many things that have to be done. We need to focus on those things that we can change in order to get us to a better place and to improve our economy. And improve the ability that our citizens can feel safe and feel like they're actually equal members of our Texas community.
You know, I'm a lifelong Texan, and I remember speaking out so proudly about Texas and our Texas governments for so many years because the legislature had Democrats and Republicans, but they all worked together for the betterment of Texas until the ultra-conservatives took over, and It was like they were working against the betterment of Texas.
Well, I think that's true, and I think we saw that across the board, not only at the state level, we saw that at the national level, that all these issues that we need to really work on to have kind of a better health system and better school systems, those are things that have been used as political tools in order to create a voting record, and then to try to create that as an electoral record to gain more and more power. And it really hasn't worked in Texas. We've seen, that this type of thing has backfired. And we've also seen in Texas in political politics that no candidate really has been defeated in Texas in the House because of their stance on gay and lesbian and transgender issues.
Which is very gratifying.
Right. I mean, it's as an issue by itself, it's not a death knell for a candidate or for an incumbent to say that I voted a certain way. Even the marriage amendment, really, people's votes in the marriage amendment really wasn't used as an effective campaign weapon.
What's going to happen with Craddock? Is he still going to be a thorn in our side, even though he's not the speaker?
Well, I mean, it's going to be hard to say. I mean, since Craddock has been in the speaker chair, he's kind of been the person that his lieutenants have really been the orchestrators of some of the anti-LGBT and anti-progressive agenda. What role he's going to take now that he's going to be a sitting member in the House chamber and not the Speaker, he still has a lot of influence and has the ability to work with multiple coalitions within the House, I'm sure. I think we're going to be waiting to see how this pans out. I think we're going to be waiting to see how, if Joe Strauss is elected, how the House is going to be run. What does that look like? Again, who are his lieutenants going to be, and who are the committee chairs going to be? Because ultimately, the two committee chairs are going to be really important are going to be appropriations, and then the calendars committee chair is really important. Because the calendars committee determines what bills get to the floor of the House.
Right. I remember from my civics.
It's amazing how this has become relevant.
Huh? It really has.
The stuff you try to forget in high school and grade school. Well, let's talk a little bit about the what we used to call it the march, but it's now Lobby Day. How important that is for people to come up there and speak to their, especially if you're from outside the metropolitan areas.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. And what's kind of tricky about Texas is we need to find out kind of who our key kind of supporters are, but also who are the key committee members and committee chairs. And once we know that, probably in the next couple of weeks, we're really going to be able to work with our members in those districts and try to get them here to Austin for our lobby day, which is Monday, March 2nd, which is Texas Independence Day, and get them there to visit those key committee chairs and committee members on our legislation once it gets filed and going through the different committee structures. And we had a great lobby day in 2007 with over 215 people there. It was our first really lobby day where we embraced and included in the planning as well as in the orchestration with the transgender community. And it was such a great learning experience and worthwhile experience for not only the people lobbying and our members, but also for our legislators. It really was an effective way to create these teams of straight people, gay and lesbian and transgender persons and kids to go in there and lobby in these teams that go across the Capitol. And we got such great feedback on it that people realized, came back and said, we had no idea how easy this was and how rewarding this was. And 99.9% of people that attended really had a pretty good interaction with their legislators that they, or their staffers that they met with.
Well, I didn't with Dan Patrick.
I remember your Senate visit for
Senate visit with Dan Patrick, Mr. Nice Guy.
I don't think you're expecting anything else. So.
No, but I'm still going to call for an appointment again.
You bring up a very good point, Jennifer. I mean, no matter what, you are a constituent.
That's right.
Legislator and your representative and your senator, and you have every right to be able to meet with that representative or senator and let them know what your opinion is and that you vote.
Well,
that's why voting is so important. It's because you need to be able to have credibility when you walk in there and say, you know what, I voted against you and I will vote against you again, or I voted for you, but now you've turned your back on us. And I need for you to kind of come back and support us because that's why I voted for you in the first place.
Well, I always have looked, because I've gone lobby day several times, was that my state rep is Beverly Woolley, and she's always been there when I had an appointment. She was always polite, courteous, listened to what I had to say, and very gracious. Dan Patrick, on the other hand, was not.
Right, and that happens sometimes. And that's rare, actually. That doesn't happen often. Usually, to your point, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, if you're a constituent and a member of their district, usually they're going to meet with you and listen to you. They may not agree with you, but at least they are attending to you as a constituent. And no matter what, you still have an effect on them, because they can't say that no one's been to their office. They can't say that no one in their district is gay. They can't say that no one in their district is transgender. So it really makes it a reality for them, and it's an excuse that they can't use anymore. Because trust me, we hear this sometimes. We heard this from a district north of Austin, just north of Austin, saying, there aren't any gay people in my district. And I'm looking at the representative thinking, did you really mean to say that?
Is that those areas where there are more cows than people?
No, it's just above Austin. I mean, it's like...
Really?
It was a ludicrous statement. And that's why it's important for not only our gay and lesbian, transgender constituents, but also our straight allies to really have a conversation with the legislators and let them know that this is important to them, that they believe that equality is a good thing for Texas, and they have people in their district that believe in this and will hold them accountable for it.
Absolutely.
And we've got to do that because they listen, and trust me, an in-person visit with a legislator has so much more power than sending an email or even a phone call.
Yes.
You meet with them in person,
yes.
It's worth 1,000 emails.
Absolutely. Well, yes. I want to thank you.
Yes. Well, I'm sure, though, it doesn't quite reflect the movie of the Charlie Wilson war of that office in Washington. but that was a great movie. If you want to watch a little bit about, you know, how some of the stuff is done behind the scenes. And it's based on a true story.
Well, what I like to tell people is that looking and watching how laws are made, it's like looking at how sausage is made, except sausage tastes better.
Yes. Well, Paul, how can people get involved?
People can get involved. You go directly to our website, which is equalitytexas.org, www.equalitytexas.org. And on our front page is the sign up for our lobby day. One is you can sign up for our e-newsletter. That's really important. Sign up for that so you can get information. And then you can go to that link to the lobby day if you want to actually come to lobby day and participate. You can do that. If you can't come to lobby day, you can also get the e-newsletter, because we'll also tell you how to meet with your legislator within their own district when they're back in the district. Because so so few people actually meet with them when they're back in the district. And that's when we need to have even more support, actually, because that one visit's worth, you know, 2,000 emails. It's really important. Actually, legislators sometimes get bored. I know, talking to Ellen Cohen, you know, she really needs to hear from our LGBT members about what's important to them and why she's important to the work and that we need her. And same for Garnet Coleman, Jessica Farrar, Amanda Wally, all of these Houston reps out down there that stick their neck out, Sinfonia Thompson. I can go on and on. That really work hard and stick their neck out. We need to make sure that we support them and let them know that we back them up.
Absolutely. And for those of you out there, the caucus meets this Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Haven Center. And you can hear more from Equality Texas then, because either you or somebody from Equality Texas will be there to speak, and we can talk more and have more questions.
Right, and I'd love to come back on the show once we know all the bills that are filed and what
sure.
issues they're in and educate people about that.
Definitely.
We'll make it a regular report.
Great. Well, thank you, Jack. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yes.
Thank you, Paul.
Paul Scott, he is Executive Director of Equality Texas, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
So he's holding me in his arms, and he's giving me sweet little kisses, and he's telling me he'll never harm me. And he's whispering how wonderful this is. And I tell him that I love him. And I tell him I'll be true. And I've said these things to other boys. But right now the old words feel so new. And I ask him, how did I get so lucky? I didn't even have to try. I'm nothing special, I'm just some guy. And he's smiling like he means it, and he's stretched out on his back, and he's telling me now that he loves me for the fifth or the sixth time. I can't keep track, and I watch his eyes as they shine, run my fingers through his hair, and I touch his chest where his heart is, and I tell him I find safe haven there. And I ask him, how did you get to be so sweet and so kind?
So sweet and so kind.
I don't know, he says, I'm nothing special, I'm just some guy. Your heart is so big, and your mind so alive. Your mind so alive. You have passion and freedom and vision and drive. You have so much to give, and you give it with care. You have helped me to heal, and there's no. Tracing his fingertips over my skin, and I'm happier now than I've ever been, and I'm hoping this feeling won't die. And if he says he's just some guy, that's fine. The truth is, he's mine. My sweetheart, my love, sent down from the sky,
sent down from the sky.
the wrapper off the sunshine. Sing praises in your name, it's time to move on. Peel away your soul. Time to move on. Peel away your soul. Peel away your soul.
We melt like chocolate, swallow dust to the answers to the questions in my mouth. I'm addicted to the pleasure she brings me from north to south, and I walk with the candy in my shoes, so I know I will not. Talking about my world.
I got the sweetest song than the birds up in the tree.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Valensky, Joan Devlin, J.D. Doyle, and Glenn Holt.
Hey! Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
And Brian Levinka and Jennifer Renee.
Yes, so here we are. You turned on our mics. We were just talking away.
We were just talking away. I got an email about a week or two ago about a new website that's GLBT related and called outhouston.org. And I started digging into it, and lo and behold, our own friend, community friend Tim Brookover is involved with that.
Lo and behold.
So we decided to bring him out and discuss this new website.
Yes, and you're in partnership with this thing, or cohort is who?
My cohort is Dot Nelson Turner, who actually started the website in 2008. It's called Out Houston, www.outhouston.org. It's a website and web portal that she began and was very successful with, and then decided to do some retooling of the site to bring in some more content to better serve the community. And then about the same time, I was looking at some changes in my life and looking for something else to do in media, and I was thinking about doing something on my own online. And Todd and I started talking, had a couple of meetings. We serve on the board of the Houston GLBT Community Center, which is something that we work on together. And so we talked a couple times about this and decided, well, why don't we work together?
What instead a concept.
Of, I know, instead of doing our separate things, why don't we actually collaborate on a project? And about to say, we both laughed and said, is that actually allowed in our community? Can people actually work together on projects?
Yeah, a gay and lesbian? No, I don't know.
And Dot said, well, perhaps we should model the behavior of working together. So we are working together on outhouston.org, and it's relaunched. She's phasing it in, but it's very exciting. A lot of different projects go into creating this website, and hope if people go and take a look at it, www.outhouston.org.
Now, if we go to the website, what are we going to see, and what do we need to be, what do we expect there?
Well, there's a homepage, and one of the first things that you'll see is a column that I'll be writing, which actually I've written one, and it's a little old. I need to update it with the new year. So we're all still trying to get in the swing of the thing. But I'll be writing a column, community column, events, activities, people, really focusing on our community. And then we'll be doing some blogging on community events and people as time goes on. That's a brave new world for me. Getting into that. A lot of other people are much more experienced with that than I am, but getting into that. Then we'll also have some other features on the website, including some contributions from Deborah Bell, who would be doing some community and marketing type stuff. And then also we have a number of resources, including a business directory and a nonprofit directory. Dot was just telling me before I came over today, she has uploaded 150 new entries into that. So it's by no means complete, but certainly working on bringing some more content into that, some more information for the community. There are some opportunities for chat and exchanging information in that way. And then she's planning on a community calendar
Excellent. We need one desperately.
Absolutely.
Put together in conjunction with the Houston GLBT Community Center, using some of the center's resources. And that's very important, and that's something we really need in this community. And it's, you know, it will take a lot of work, but once it's put together, it can be a great resource for all of us.
But coming from the nonprofit world, it's extremely hard to plan things 3-6 months out.
Isn't that true?
And you're planning things, and then you find out, oh, there's another fundraiser that day.
And we have a very active community, which is that's a great problem to have.
It is a great problem.
But, you know, it can be a problem when you want to plan an event and you don't know what else is happening on that day or on that evening.
Right.
Or, you know, your event comes up and you realize, oops, we planned our fundraiser on the same night as, you know, some other big fundraiser.
Right. And I think it just takes people knowing about the website and then using the website and just different groups
putting
their information in
there. Well, and we hope that people will go to the website and take a look at it. And, you know, please feel free to, you know, contact Dot or to contact me and say, this is what we'd like to see, or have you thought about this, or this is what would be really useful, or this is something I'd like to help with. It's definitely, Dot definitely wants it to be a community site that will grow with the community, and become a really good resource. I mean, this really grew out of an event that she started in 2007. It was a coming out day event, and one of the things that came out of that was we really need to have more information resources in the community, particularly now that we don't have a weekly newspaper.
Absolutely.
That the voice is gone.
Because we've offered on this show to email Jack with any announcements when events are.
Right.
And we still don't have as much as we should.
Right. And, you know, it's...
And that we can at least get it out once a week.
To keep up, and we have some great resources, of course, Queer Voices and After Hours on radio, and certainly Outsmart, and there are some other the Montrose Gem and Gab Weekly, and there's a new monthly magazine that's just started called About, which is going to be another great resource. But there's always an opportunity for more. There's always a need for another, you know, way to get the word out, particularly in absence of a weekly newspaper. And we need to rethink the way we get word out. And one of the ways is to use the internet better,
mm-hmm.
and really try to use that resource and make Out Houston, you know, valuable so that people will want to look at it regularly. And so, you know, I can go to Out Houston and I can look for, you know, information, for content, and also, you know, we hope for entertainment, people reading the columns and the blogs. But, you know, perhaps we can make it a destination. People will go and look at that calendar or look at that listing of, you know, upcoming events and really be useful to the community in that way.
Has there been something like that before?
There have been several different efforts over the years that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
There was a website I think called Out in Houston,
mm-hmm.
and there were some others that were useful and had some community listings, particularly like nonprofit listings, which were great. But I don't think they're active anymore.
It's, you know, it's constant maintenance and kind of everybody has to collaborate together.
It's like a print publication or a radio show. It takes constant maintenance of work, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, you have to have someone dedicated and passionate about keeping up with it. There has to be that kind of energy, or it'll fall short.
Right. Well, unfortunately, Dot is those who know her, you know, is incredibly dynamic and has a lot of energy. And she also has a great deal of expertise in, you know, creating websites and building websites and maintaining them, and that's an expertise that I don't have at all. So she brings that, whereas I have, you know, a little bit of community knowledge and, mm-hmm. you know, some savvy and contacts in that regard. So we make a great team in that way. But, you know, as she built the site, and she really is very knowledgeable about that. And it's, you know, as I've just in the past few months that she's worked on it, I've seen it become more rich. And I think it will just continue to grow. And it's an exciting thing to be involved with.
And Tim, we gave it the first. Let's give it again, the website.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's www.outhouston.org. O-R-G.
All right. O-R-G.
Now, Tim, you mentioned that you're with the community center. I understand there's an event this weekend.
There is. Thanks. This Saturday, January 10th, 1 to 5 p.m., it's our first quarterly meeting of the year of a group that we sponsor called the Community Leaders Networking Group. Meets four times a year, the beginning of each quarter. And it's open to anyone in the community, not just
the leaders,
the pillars, whether actual or self-styled, but
self-appointed,
that's
okay. Anointed, self-anointed.
Absolutely.
There are plenty of those.
We've all known many of those.
Oh, I know.
But everyone's
and
welcome.
And you know who you are.
You know who you are, and we love you anyway. But it's a very informal. People come together from the community, and it's just... The content of each meeting is kind of dictated by who comes. Mm-hmm. We sit around and talk about our different groups we're involved in, activities we're involved in. It's a time for people to share information, to share concerns, problems, complaints, gossip. It's really been a wonderful activity that the Community Center has sponsored. We started it a couple of years ago after the conference on Houston's GLBT future. It grew out of that, and then it really evolved into more of just a networking group for the community. So that about a year ago we changed the name to really reflect that it's a networking group. And the first one of the year is this Saturday, as I said, 1 to 5 at the Community Center, 3400 Montrose Suite 207. Free parking in the parking garage next door. You're welcome to come for the entire 4 hours or drop in as much time as you have. Some people come and stay the whole time. Some people come early. Some people come late. We'll fit you in whenever you come. We're very informal. We don't have a structure in that regard. But it's a lot of fun, I think. And I think the people who've been involved have gotten something out of it. And we've been able to facilitate some very interesting collaborations among groups, people who maybe hadn't worked together before or hadn't thought about working together before, but through the Community Leaders Networking Group, you know, they said, hey, we're working on something that you might be interested in. Why don't we, you know, have organizations work together?
I know I get the email that you send out, you know, this week at the Community Center and all. If someone out there wants to get that kind of information, how can they do that?
You know, probably the best way is to contact me directly.
Okay.
And
what's your
I'll be
email
happy
address?
To give my email address. It's Tim Brookover, no period, at gmail.com. And that's Brookover at gmail.com. Or you could contact me these days at outhouston.org.
Mm-hmm.
Tim at outhouston.org. Actually, that might be easier. But or just you can find me at outhouston.org, and I'm there. A contact link, but I mean, you know, would be delighted to put you on our list and you know, keep you posted in that regard. But yeah, we encourage people to come by on Saturday. Sometimes the group is larger than others, but we've been building slowly. We probably got it to be about 12-15 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. Some are regulars and some new people drop in, and it's just a great way to communicate, and it's also one of the few times in the community when people from different groups can come together where there's no agenda, there's no program, we're not raising any money, there's no speaker. Not that there's anything wrong with any of those, but this is just an opportunity to relax and talk and share information and have a good time.
Well, that's great. Is there anything we've not covered in our conversation? Questions that you or things you want to make sure that everybody knows?
I think that was pretty good.
All right. Well, give us the websites again.
Thank you. It's Out Houston, www.outhouston.org. And then the Community Houston GLBT Community Website Center website is www.houstonglbtcommunitycenter.org.
Thank you. We've been talking to Tim Brookover.
Thanks.
Come back again.
You. I will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
odd month, odd year, odd day for a beginning, new world, same fear. How's he gonna fit in here? Brown hair, green eyes, but this one, he's special. He'll take his time and do his best to fit in here. And I can't help but wonder, was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more than this old world and this old life provides? So much alone, so clear, he's seen that there's more to own than what it takes to fit in here. So keep close, stand by, watch those around him. They'll change his mind about the way to fit in here. And I can feel and wonder, was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more? Was he made for something more than this old world and this old life provides? And he wonders how his life could look to the angels who guard him at night. Are they working for a worthy cause, or is he just a waste of their pride? Sit still, 'cause this could get messy. 'Cause what would you kill to find a way to fit, find a way to fit, find a way to fit in here?
That was Phil Putnam and a song called More Than This. This is Queer Voices.
You may remember that we had a protest on Proposition 8 a few weeks ago.
Yay!
Yay, absolutely. Well, we're building on that this weekend, and in the studio we have Megan Baker.
And she's the one that was the impetus behind it.
She was a major factor in organizing that.
She was the energy,
carrying
the passion
torch
behind it. Yes.
Megan, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's going on Saturday?
Saturday we have the second nationwide protest in conjunction with Join the Impact, which is the nationwide group that organized the November 15th protest. And this one's going to be a little different. We're going to be doing basically a demonstration on the sidewalk of West Gray Street between Shepherd Drive and Waugh Drive, starting at the corner of Shepherd and Waugh and kind of moving down. And this one, the theme is protesting against DOMA, which is the Defense of Marriage Act. So we're going to be focusing on rights of marriage that same-sex couples don't have, especially in Texas, since we don't have any real protection for our relationships.
How did y'all pick West Gray?
Well, we were trying to decide between Westheimer and West Gray. We had talked about the Galleria area and some various places. We talked about the Galleria more for if it were during the holidays. There'd be a lot of traffic over there. But we kind of thought that this is an area that's close enough to home that we would like to even work on recruiting people from in the Montrose area, from in this community, because there are still a lot of people that are not engaged in this movement. But also West Gray is kind of, that area is a very mixed area. There's a lot of retail, a lot of upscale retail there. So we expect to come across a very diverse group. So,
where do we meet when we're going to come out there? Do we just park our car and just sort of join you?
Basically, so, I mean, parking in that neighborhood is pretty easy. There's a lot of street parking. We live close. We'll probably just walk.
I live close,
too.
Do
we bring a sign or something?
Yeah, you should definitely bring a sign. We're encouraging people to bring a sign and focus on any of the rights of marriage that same-sex couples don't have, either under federal law because of DOMA or in Texas under state law. So there are over 1,100 of these rights. So we're encouraging people to try to be creative and try to, you know, think of ones that are not the five that we usually hear about, because there really are so many of them. And also signs encouraging Barack Obama to repeal DOMA, which was one of his initial campaign promises and something that we're trying to hold him to. And we'll also have letters, open letters to sign to Barack Obama, kind of reinforcing the platform that we would like him to adopt when it comes to GLBT rights.
Well, where do we go to get some information?
Okay, our website, the organization is called Impact Houston. And the website is http://impacthouston.wetpaint.com. And that's wetpaint, W-E-T-P-A-I-N-T. There's also a Facebook event, like there was for the November 15th. But all the information is on the website.
Yeah, that's where I got my invite.
Right, there you go, yeah. So if you're on Facebook, definitely just do a search for January 10th protest. You can do a search for my name, Megan Baker, and find us that way.
Okay.
And I don't know if I said this. It starts at 12:30.
No, you didn't. But yeah, I was going to ask that next.
And ends at 2:30. And to answer your question about where to meet, like I said, we're going to kind of start at the corner of West Gray and Shepherd. And as more and more people come, we'll
for those of you who don't know, that's
down
where the Starbucks is.
Right, where the
double
Starbucks.
Starbucks.
The two Starbucks, yes.
The upscale Starbucks, the drive-through Starbucks.
Exactly. So you can go and get your coffee and then head over there, and then we're just going to kind of line up and down toward Wah. If we get that many people, which I would love to have that many people. So that's kind of the idea. And then there's also going to be an after party at Guava Lamp.
Right in the neighborhood, right down Wall.
Exactly.
What time
exactly
is that going to be?
From 3 to 5, and they're actually opening early for us. So.
Oh, how? So we'll finish up and then a half hour later meet over there.
Yeah, give
Guava
people
Lamp.
Time
that's
to
great
get back to their cars and head over to Guava. So it should be a good time. And like I said, they're opening early for us, which we really appreciate. And yeah, I think that's mostly
what
all
are we trying to accomplish?
Well, I
what's
think
our mission?
Our goal with this particular event is really just to increase visibility, as opposed to the November 15th protest, which was more about coming together and kind of getting people energized with speakers and that kind of thing. This time there's not going to be any speaking, per se. Maybe some chanting, but it's more of just a silent demonstration. Oh, another important thing is to wear a black shirt. We want everyone to be wearing a black shirt so that we all look uniform. So it's mainly just to get visibility and also to educate the public on the realities of same-sex marriage or the complete lack thereof here in Texas and just how many rights there are that we don't have.
You mean the denial of human rights?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Civil, basic civil rights that we, as a people, are discriminated against.
Exactly. And there have been numerous courts already in this country that have said that marriage is a fundamental right, which is different than, you know, a normal right. So we can only hope that that trend continues. But in the meantime, there's a lot of work to be done here in Texas in particular.
Well, realistically, we may be a generation away to total acceptance, but that doesn't mean we can't keep pledging along.
Yeah.
I was going to acknowledge you for your effort. It takes a lot to just get out there and pick up the mantle and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so few people out there in our community who are not engaged. And it's so gratifying to have someone here like yourself who's engaged in doing something and making things happen. I acknowledge you for that.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I mean, for me, it's just the kind of work that I've always wanted to do, and it's rewarding to me just to be able to get people engaged that haven't been before, because I've heard so many people say that, you know, they were sort of apathetic because they didn't really have anything to be angry about. They didn't really realize how big a problem it was. So it's been really rewarding for me to see people becoming educated.
Well, absolutely. You motivate people and you kind of bring it home. You make it personal, because now they know someone who was married in California to your wife, and, you know, now that's not possible.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think...
You're now in limbo.
Right. Yeah, definitely,
so
for right now.
That people meet you and then they see your energy and your passion, and that just motivates me. I was at the November 15th protest, and it was amazing seeing all those people there with all the signs.
And those of you out there in the audience who weren't there at the one in November, this is your opportunity to make a statement, to become engaged. It's January 10th.
January 10th.
Mm-hmm. 10th. It's this coming Saturday. And give the details.
Yeah, it's starting at 12:30 at the corner of Shepherd and West Gray. And we're going to be moving down West Gray toward Waugh. It's also very important that we stay on the sidewalks. We don't have a permit for blocking off West Gray. So it's very important that we stay on the sidewalks. Bring a sign, wear a black shirt. All the details are on the website, impacthouston.wetpaint.com.
Also, the Facebook.
The Facebook, yes, and the after party at Guava from 3 to 5. And
so it's a protest for a great cause and then a party afterwards.
Exactly, yeah, and I think the idea there is I do want to try to get everyone in one place. I felt like at the November 15th protest, I know it kind of just ended abruptly, and it was kind of, what do you do with all that energy and excitement? Yeah. So this is a way for us all to kind of come together and meet and greet afterwards. And
that's great.
Yeah, and we're already working on our March event, too, which is going to be kind of family oriented. So
sounds good. Megan Baker, thank you for coming.
Thank you
and
for having
me. Acknowledge you for your good work. And that's this Saturday at 12:30 on Gray.
West
so
Gray.
Be
and
West Shepherd. Gray. So be there.
Absolutely.
This
thank
is Queer
you.
Voices.
She's been dubbed a dyke diva.
I'm just speaking from my heart.
And his velvet gravel voice intones hauntingly beautiful songs. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. These are just two of the LGBT voices we featured on Audiophile this year.
Join us as we take a longer listen to our favorite seven on the Audiophile 2008 Year in Review.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. As we reflect on another year of struggle for equality around the world, this week's Audiophile 2008 Year in Review recalls how music provided the soundtrack. There's no news wrap this week or next, but we'll catch up on events in or affecting our global LGBT communities in 2 weeks. And later, we'll preview the second of This Way Out's two traditional holiday season specials. Right now, with the first, here are Chris Wilson and J.D. Doyle, orchestrated by production guru Christopher David Trentum, with their Audiophile 2008 Year in Review.
I love being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it.
Hello and welcome to our special Year in Review expanded edition of Audiophile. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. In the past year, our gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered artists brought us a wonderful variety of music, touching many genres. As always, narrowing them down to just a few was not an easy task. But we're sharing with you seven of our favorites from our 2008 audiophile features.
Starting us off with a very out-of-the-closet album is Gay Adegbolola and her latest CD called Gay Without Shame.
You know I was drinking at the fountain. I was drinking at the fountain of life. I could drink from the black one. I couldn't get near the white. Now I'm still drinking at the fountain. And you know it's still the fountain of life. I can drink at the straight one, but I can't take a wife.
Gay is one-third of the blues group Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women, and this is her third solo album. And here's one more very out song.
I ain't ashamed. No, 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 I ain't ashamed. I ain't ashamed. No, 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 I ain't ashamed. Well, it's dark in the closet now, I'm out in the light. Proud of who I am and my light is shining bright. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I ain't afraid. No, 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 I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid. No, 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 I ain't afraid. I'm out in the open, I'm no longer living fear. I can look you in the eye and smile from ear to ear. Yeah.
Find out more about the album Gay Without Shame by Gay Adegbolola at www.adegbolola.com. And of course, I'll spell that for you. That's www.adegbolola.com.
Eric Hyman is one of our more prolific artists. His new album, called Resonate, is his eighth since the year 2000.
They come to tell me that hell is at my door. How nice of them to warn me a whole lifetime before. I've got the rest of my life till Judgment Day is due. Oops, look at the time, I bet you got better things to do. I was not raised the way you were, and yes, I'm glad. Way, get out of my face, deal with it like I am. Deal with it like I am. I am not a soldier, I am just an average man. Living out my life the best way that I can. I'm not reporting for duty, I'm not recruiting myself. Join our forces that don't want me unless they need my help.
This is the second time Eric's made our Year in Review show, and on this album, he explores some new and very interesting territory, including a song inspired by a transgendered boy.
Yeah.
they try to commend you, little boy.
Find out more about the CD Resonate by Eric Hyman at www.erichhyman.com. That's www.erichhyman.com.
Alive and Screaming is the CD title, but with his velvet gravel voice, Jake Walden's debut album is heartfelt, filled with emotion and hauntingly beautiful.
It takes a lot to love another, even more to set them free. Even whores can fall for someone, maybe someday you fall for me. And there are times when I'm blind, other days the prophets mock. We are masters of illusions as we shelter our desires. Well, I'm not trying to tell you where you ought to go. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm just speaking from my heart. I'm just speaking from my heart. So come on, mothers of the young. Fathers of the world, tell them go and search for someone. Tell them one day return to me.
On his website, Jake says, if I haven't made half of the audience cry, not out of sadness, but out of hope, then I haven't done my job or lived up to my dream. With this album, you'll believe it.
It's been a long time coming now. It's been a long time down. Many moons between us now. The thought that I bear, and I don't know how. I am falling. I am falling. Gotta let go. Feel the weight of the burden. Get myself out of the way. I don't need any fear any longer. You're the end of my long story. You're the only calm I've known.
You can learn more about Jake Walden's album, Alive and Screaming, at www.jakewaldenmusic.com.
Sweet Life is the ninth album by Katie Curtis and the first one recorded in Nashville.
I remember my first heartache, learning all the different ways my heart could break. I took off to San Francisco Bay, grieving. And then there was the one in Tennessee. That one really was the end of me. So sweet, but looks can be deceiving.
Most of them probably wouldn't come true.
Like her past albums, this one is beautifully written, well-crafted and produced, and this time brimming with optimism.
I'm gonna throw these photographs away. Don't know why these memories got saved.
About Katie Curtis and her new album, Sweet Life, at www.katiecurtis.com. And Katie is spelled C-A-T-I-E. You're listening to the 2008 Audiophile Year in Review here on This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. The fourth album by Chicago artist Scott Free is very gay and very political, and has the intriguing name, The Pink Album, a pop opera. It starts with a song that too many of us can identify with.
Like a girl in the fire, and they chased me through the laughing gas. I ran like a girl.
Scott's album covers a lot of ground lyrically and a lot of musical styles.
Find out more about Scott Free and The Pink Album, a pop opera, at www.scottfree.net.
Sam Harris got his big break on the American TV show Star Search back in 1983, winning with a smashing version of Over the Rainbow. And he's had a long career since as a singer and actor. His new recording is called Free.
There's a curve up ahead in the distance, and I'm driving the fastest way home. There's a light in the window that's burning, the only fire that I've ever known. All the miles that I let come between us are finally fading away. So I'm bringing him roses and a heart that is open and a man.
This album, with a variety of styles, is personal and full of love and pride and hope.
And I'm free to dance, forget about my two left feet, and I'm free to sing, keeping joyful noises, music to me, and I'm free to love, 'cause I'm giving you my love, and it's made me free. My mind finds it hard to believe that this is my humanity, and I've changed my course of history because I love you so. And my heart cannot understand why you'd accept me as I am, but I guess there's always been a plan, that's all I need to know. So when I am concerned by what the world will say, it's when I'm singing to you I remove my chains, and I'm free to dance, forget about my two left feet, and I'm free to sing, even joyful noises, music to me, and I'm free to love, 'cause I'm giving you my love, and it's made me free. Free from worry, free from envy and denial.
Find out more about Sam Harris and his new album called Free at www.samharris.com.
From her stage show, she's been dubbed the Dyke Diva, so we can see why our final artist this year, Lori Michaels, named her debut album Living My Life Out Loud.
I thought I had a bad feeling when I met you. Give me those eyes. Myself over and over, snap out of it, get a grip now. You keep creeping to me when you know it ain't right. It's looking like I got something to hide. I have some explaining to do, and it wouldn't be a pretty sight. Get into your head that I'm not about to let myself go. Do your evil ways, you can't know that you're calling me. Like I said, get it through your head. Don't believe that you can change my mind. I think it for this ain't the first time that you want what you can't have. So get off my back, enough said. Get it through your head. Get it through your head.
feeling like you just missed out. Regret ever having anything with you. Never talk about what happened last night. Just put it in the past and say goodbye. On the contrary, it's only temporary. Can't you just leave it alone? Can you look at your head that I'm not about to let myself go? Do your evil ways, you can't know that you're calling me. You keep stalking me like I said. Get it through your head. Don't believe that you can change my mind. I take it for this ain't the first time that you want what you can't have. So get up on that. Nothing. Get it through your head.
Lori's music covers a lot of territory, from some moving ballads to some serious party songs.
Says there ain't no way she looks so fly. Guys wonder why, oh why. I never seem to look that deeply in their eyes. Don't care if it's wrong or right. I just came to strut my stuff and have a good time.
Party on.
The name of the album is Living My Life Out Loud, and if you go to LoriMichaels.com, well, you'll find a porn star, so to find our artist, you will want to visit www.LoriMichaelsProductions.com.
And that's it for this special Year in Review edition of Audiophile. We would like to thank our co-producer, Christopher David Trenton, for helping to make Audiophile possible.
You can write to us at 594 Sawdust Road, number 273, Spring, Texas, 77380, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
Meet me at the bar.
So what were the best gay films of 2008?
I need some time. I just don't know if this is really what I want. Seems like what you want.
Until I met him, I'd never known anybody to take such an interest in me.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
And how did we fare on TV?
I'm Dr. Eve. When you de-homosexualize me, will I still be able to perform as Tammy Wynette?
Hi, I'm Steve Pride. Join me on the next This Way Out for a special look at Pride on Screen in 2008.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum brought us their Audiophile 2008 Year in Review, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. We gratefully acknowledge a generous Australian donation from the Brisbane Pride Festival. They've always enjoyed a strong mutual support from their local community radio programs, Queer Radio and Dykes on Mics on 4ZZZ FM. Organizers of the Brisbane Pride Festival say they're proud to help secure the future of This Way Out, the truly international LGBT radio magazine. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mailed CDs or cassettes of our programs. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening. In Europe, Asia Pacific, and Africa Middle East regions on the World Radio Network, on shortwave station Radio for Peace International, and on more than 175 local radio stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please do stay tuned.
de-homosexualize?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, due to a little technical glitchy thingy, that was actually last week's This Way Out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, technical glitchy thingy is, you know, it's a technical term.
What, technical glitchy? Other words, the engineer?
No, it wasn't me.
No, it's never you. It's never the engineer.
We definitely want to thank our guests tonight, and there's two events happening this Saturday. One is the Impact Usenet event that's happening at West Gray and South Shepherd. That starts at 12:30 on Saturday, and then the Community Leadership Networking Group, that starts at 1 p.m. at the Community Center, which is at 3400 Montrose on the second floor. Also this week, Paul Scott's going to be speaking, or somebody from Quality Texas will be speaking at the Houston GLBT Political Caucus meeting, which happens this Wednesday starting at 6:30 at Haven Center, which is at
Alabama.
At West Alabama, what, 28?
No, it's not 28.
24?
Next to St. Stephen's.
It's right? Next to the chocolate bar.
It's next to the chocolate bar. Try to be there. You know, try.
And thanks to David Elliott for giving us an update from Washington.
Have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Happy New Year, y'all. Time is running out to participate in the KPFT program survey. I'm KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley. KPFT's Program Council is seeking your feedback on our programming. Check out a programming survey now posted on our website, kpft.org. We want to know what you like, what you don't like, how you listen, and what you suggest. There are plenty of places to write out your thoughts, and results are reviewed in an effort to learn what you enjoy and want more of on your KPFT. Again, visit kpft.org for a link to this online survey. Please note, one survey per household. The deadline is midnight, Monday, January 5th, so don't wait.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.